Good morning.
Hey, somebody's... Can I file a missing clock
report?
Where'd
the clock just go?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Good morning, Brian. Without a clock, I can still say good morning.
Hi, you. Oh, geez, Louise. Yeah. If anything was constant, we'd get bored, wouldn't we?
We would. I'd love a little boredom every morning.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, Humboldt County's DA Maggie is with us. Not just any old Maggie. Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find one that's simple. Richard Kiel. Needn't be anything elaborate, he said. Echoes will be fine. Consistency, huh? That's about as close as I could get to a consistency comment.
There we go.
Well, it's got to be an interesting week for you, as well as the rest of us. I'm all fired up about the last chance grade thing, so... Yeah, I've kind of been diverted a little bit, but this morning in the news, in addition to that, we heard that you've got a nominee? Is that...
For the public defender?
Yeah, is that how...
He started. The board of supervisors offered him the position, and he has already started. Yeah, he's been here about a little over a week. He's running the morning calendar, the misdemeanor calendar, early resolution court, and other duties as assigned.
But now things are being brought into question?
There are a handful of defense attorneys who are questioning it. That's correct.
I didn't realize this was even possible, so it's a little bit different. Is this something that's... Are you familiar with something like this having occurred anywhere in our part of the state or country where somebody's been hired, given the job, and then there's review?
I'm not aware of it. I'm sure it's happened elsewhere just because these sorts of things, seem to occur, but I'm not aware of it, no. So
what was your immediate first reaction when you heard about this?
Well, what happened was, an interview panel was put together, and we interviewed a number of candidates on January 6th, and that was, as have been other panels, a group of department heads who were collected who interact with that particular job.
And that's a normal selection process.
That's a normal selection process. And then we provide informal input to the Board of Supes. We give them sort of, as a panel, how we rank the candidates. And then about 5 weeks later, the Board of Supervisors indicated they had gone with a candidate that was not one of the local candidates. And it was at that point that a group of the local defense attorneys challenged the panel, saying there was a conflict of interest. And I was really surprised by that.
Wouldn't there always be a conflict of interest just because you guys are going to be working with whoever the person is?
No, I don't think there is a conflict of interest. I think that we were seeking the absolute best candidate we could find. And I know as the DA, I had no conflict because my job is to serve the public and seek justice. And justice requires that each person have the best defense they possibly can. And that's what we were looking for. And I have to say, too, that we're out of time.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We've got more time with Maggie Fleming.
I know. I'm trying to remember where we were, but we were talking about the role of the panel and specifically the DA sitting on that panel. And, what I also thought about was in terms of how I see it in the courtroom. And obviously, if there's someone who's ineffective as a public defender, not only are there significant delays in the case because they're not prepared and they don't understand, you know, how to assess their cases, but then ultimately what we see is that after there's an outcome, the Court of Appeals can reverse it because of issues with how they handled the case.
So it's not bad law necessarily, it's just really expensive law.
Well, and
as it goes up the system.
And it's, you know, it's the importance of effective counsel versus, you know, if you have a weak public defender, ineffective assistance of counsel. And then the issue of, you know, you question about the panel. And what I know is that statewide, district attorneys and chief probation officers and others serve on this exact same panel and provide this input to their boards of supervisors. And then ultimately, in every county, it's the Board of Supervisors who make that decision of who should receive the appointment to that department head position.
So what's the rub here? Is it the wrong person got elected or selected? Was it the fact that the supervisors made the determination? Was it the panel chose the wrong person? Was it the people in the panel? I mean, there's so many variables in this process where somebody, if they're inclined, could say, wait a minute. Even though it normally doesn't have that kind of scrutiny.
And I don't know what the rub is. I think that, I mean, one of your questions was it because the Board of Supes made the decision? The Board of Supes always makes this decision. And so something to sort of understand is with the county, there's a number of, for lack of a better term, department heads. A handful of those are actually elected positions. So treasurer, tax collector, the assessor, the auditor, the DA, the sheriff. Who am I
Coroner
forgetting?
Coroner No More.
The elections and recorder. I think I've got them all. Are all elected positions, and then the balance are all appointments by the Board of Supervisors. So, for example, we've had a significant number of recent appointments to department head position. We've had Department of Health and Human Services, executive director. That's an appointment. I sat on that panel with a number of other department heads, primarily people who interact with that position, because then we sort of have an understanding of, you know, significant issues and how important that job is and what, you know, what's critical as far as the type of person who serves. We've also gone through that process then with the county administrative officer. And again, a panel was put together by HR. They invite various department heads to come in and sit. And then you go through the process. And the process is, you know, and it's very limited. It's personnel provides you a list of questions. Those are the questions you can ask. And they're,
You
can't freewheel. Well, it's, you know, it's important, and it's interesting because I came from a county where it was civil service, and we were even more limited. It was very, it was recorded, it was timed, it was those sorts of processes.
Just very structured.
Yeah. And so, but that's the process for the department head positions, and then ultimately at the end of the day, you sort of give this as a panel, an informal ranking of, you know, all the candidates that were there that day. And then the board takes that input and then leaves, and then they go meet, you know, obviously in closed session and reach their decision. And it's solely their decision.
So
they can consider the input or not, or however they make the decision.
It's more of a traditional personnel related. Nothing's in public. It just goes through. There may be some indication of who the applicants were just because they have to notify their boss, and maybe their boss says something, but it's not out in the open.
Right. And the, you know, that's a good point too about the confidentiality, because I know that we, you know, as panelists, when you arrive, they give you the binder with the applicants, you sign a form or you're advised, you know, this is confidential. And in part because some people, when they apply, and I'm talking about all these various positions, don't necessarily want their employer or the position they're currently holding to be aware of the fact that they're out there actively looking, you know, to leave their job. And so ultimately, it would only be perhaps the person selected who then has to say, okay, yes, now feel free to reach out to my references and contact. So that process, it is. It's supposed to be you know, in order to hopefully draw the very best from all over, you know, in county, out of state, the idea is that this is a confidential process.
It's an intriguing concept when there's a bump in the road. Is this just a bump in the road? Or is there concern that something may not have been properly addressed? Or do you know?
I don't know. I think that, and I'm trying to remember the last time we saw issues. I mean, I know that, you know, with, you know, other positions, sometimes someone accepts and then withdraws, just like sometimes you...
Well, there was a county librarian had done that at one point.
Yeah.
You know, after 2 or 3 months, or
right,
after being selected, chose not to arrive. But the bottom line is you want to have the toughest public defender you can.
Yeah. It's so much better when someone's smart, hardworking, tenacious. And I also think, you know, personally watching these people do this job have a limitless capacity for compassion, because that's what's required when you're a public defender.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. A little too sugary? As always, the discussions during the breaks are just as interesting
The discussions. Talking about roads.
That's, yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, Brian, it is interesting talking about roads because I mentioned you tonight's the last public input meeting for the Measure S. We've been calling it the Budget Roadshow. So last Thursday night, we were at Benbow, and then Monday night, it was at McKinleyville. It was supposed to be at Willow Creek.
When you were at Benbow, where'd you have it?
The KOA there, the campground.
Did you go across the street and look at the remodeling?
I did not.
Oh.
We carpool, so oh. I would have had to take the entire crew over. But
okay, well, I can't ask
but
you then.
Monday, it was supposed to be at Willow Creek, and it was because of road conditions and the weather and everything else. We had it in McKinleyville, and it was really impressive, actually, because we got a really good turnout in spite of the fact it had been moved at the very last moment, and a really good turnout at Benbow as well. So Measure S was the recent tax related to marijuana, and specifically... we believe, you know, projection is that there's going to be roughly $2 million generated in 2017, 2018. And so the question then for the public is, how do you want those tax dollars spent? And tonight, people are welcome to come. 5:30 is where you can first arrive and meet with your supervisors who will be there. And then the actual official meeting starts at 6 p.m. It's a really good program. We give people the opportunity to work in small groups, make suggestions, and then the groups sort of report out, and then everybody there is able to vote on where they think the priority should be. And what I've been impressed by, you know, not only a lot of really good suggestions, but people really have a lot of concerns about road conditions, the impact on our rural population, and how we can better serve people, you know, in remote areas. And in fact, Benbow, one of the issues they raised was given the fact that a significant portion of the tax will be coming from some of the more rural areas, shouldn't it be used to perhaps assist with services and roads in those areas? But there's been a lot of...
I've heard that argument before, like with TOT.
Yeah.
And some of the others that are discretionary, that it's like on a per source.
Right.
You know, where are the rooms for this? Where are the issues? Where? And that's probably the toughest thing with anything, that is that not that $2 million is small, but it's kind of curious how much effort is being spent in this area for something that if each supervisor had it would be $400,000.
Right.
I mean, that's a blink and a finger snap and it's gone.
Yeah.
Is anybody during the two meetings so far suggested that perhaps the fee structure is a little lower than what it should have been and there should have been more money so that the roads, let's say in the rural part of the county, in the southern part, more positive impact could be made rather than, even if you threw $2 million to it, what does that get you?
No, no one has said that. In fact, one of the concerns that we've heard is the issue of if you make it too expensive, you're not actually going to encourage people to get out of the black market. And that is one of the questions. People have suggested maybe this money should be used towards more enforcement so that we actually know those who are in compliance and permitted and doing all of the appropriate, you know, standards they should be doing.
Kind of setting the groundwork
right,
for the future.
Should actually see, hey, we've spent all this money, we've all done that, and it's appropriate. So what's going to happen to the guy next door who's not doing any of those things?
Right, the code enforcement.
Right. So I think that's a good point. And then the other issue that I was really, I thought was a really good point too, was the number of people who said we really need to do a better job when it comes to environmental cleanup. And something that everybody understands is, you know, law enforcement can go through and remove the plants and remove some of the larger, you know, the generators or things like that. But then the structures are there and some of those other pieces remain, and those remain an environmental issue. A number of them in Southern Humboldt spoke about property in Phillipsville that everybody drives by and sees because it's slowly going to slide down into the river. And what can we do? And so one of the issues that I thought was a really good idea is they said, you know, there's a lot of community groups and volunteers out there who are working really hard to try to do these cleanups. Maybe something, and we did this with Measure Z, maybe something along the lines of having funds available for those dump fees. And also, we have a lot of butane canisters, things like that. Those are hazmat. Having funds available so that people can say, hey, here's a truckload of these. We just cleaned off the property. But why should those volunteers then be expected to have to pay for the disposal as well? So I thought that was a really good idea. Like I said, it's been really, I've been to the last two, I'll be at the one tonight, and it's just been great to, a lot of really good ideas. People who are coping with the problems are really working hard to try to come up with solutions and suggestions for what should we do with this money to make a difference, and that's been great. And then, of course, a number of people have talked about mental health issues that we see throughout the county, and again, providing maybe more services in the outlying areas, because it is, and that's always a difficulty, people trying to get to the hub.
But again, you're talking only $2 million. So if it was just money, I think the amount of money that DHHS has would probably have taken care of it. KINS, well, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to talk shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. So, Maggie, what are you hoping for this night?
We're hoping for good turnout again. Obviously, the greater Eureka area, folks want to come. And, you know, the input for now, you know, although we're looking at, you know, and you were just saying $2 million, maybe is that really going to make that much of a difference? But down the road, as this grows, obviously that sum will increase in what we're looking at really is the public's input for how those dollars are going to be spent for the next, you know, for the foreseeable future.
So you don't expect a road show next year also?
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. But I really do appreciate the folks who are showing up, because obviously it's the weather's been tough and everything else, and people have been coming and spending.
You're not offering free food.
You know, there's coffee and cookies, and so that's tremendous.
And
water.
None of the burnt hot dogs. Yeah.
No,
okay.
No hot dogs.
No grazing tonight,
just
baby.
Sugar.
Oh, do you, as one of those receiving the input, prefer things in writing, well thought out, or are you looking more for brainstorming, notes being jotted down, and kind of more spontaneous reaction?
So it's a group spontaneous. People come together. Everybody, you know, it's interesting because each table I've had so far of participants, it's really diverse. And then as a group, we come up, everybody gets to have input. You go through two rounds of that. And then ultimately, you have to distill it down to three key points. So all of the ideas, you know, I'm writing them all down. All of that goes to the board. But then when you report out to all of the participants who have been there for the entire evening, everyone then gets to vote on the three key points you've raised, as well as other points that have been presented, you know, previously to the board through the website and through public comment.
Is there consensus? Is there a separation starting to happen, or, you know, everybody's got 1% and you got 100 great ideas?
No, there, you know, as people listen, you know, so when you get up, each group presents, and there's six of us who represent sort of different pieces. And then at the end, the group, and then that's when you see, because not only do they vote on the individual points, but then at the end of the night, they're voting on who of those six groups they think the funding should really go to. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of more focus on that, more consensus on that.
Oh, so each of you are representing...
In general,
a potential
recipient. Exactly. So there's someone there from environmental health. There's someone there from public works, which represents, you know, roads and other projects. There's someone there from law enforcement. There's someone there from services for children and family health. I'm there representing both prosecution and investigations. And there's one more group. Oh, and probation officers there to talk about programs and services.
I wonder if the residual of all of this at the end is going to be totally unintended, an educated community. All of these various areas are struggling for financial, for what they're being tasked with doing.
Right.
I wonder if that's going to be the magic at the end, not who gets portions of $2 million or subsequent, but a better educated community to go forth.
I think that's a very real outcome. I also appreciate that a number of the people who came are the people who are really dedicated to making their communities better, and they have a really good idea of what the struggles are.
And how many there are.
Yes.
Well, have fun this evening.
Thank you very
much. I may be in the back making faces at you.
Excellent.
Let's see everybody tomorrow.